You're listening to Triple Radio on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Let's go.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, let's not go.
Yeah, we're going. Hello, and welcome to Fat Gatsby's Triple Radio for May 16th, 2016.
The number of the beast.
The number of the beast. this is Tim. Dave is here, and Weez is here.
Yeah.
Hey. Again, it's been a while.
I will be representing the beast.
Weez. It's tougher to get you on a podcast these days. With your busy weekends.
Yeah, every once in a while, Sundays get busy. Well, that's when people do things, I guess, are these weekends.
In Austin.
Well, that's when people are not, you know, I guess, working their real jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we podcast on the weekends, because it's when I'm not working my real job.
I just came from church myself. I'm joking.
I know.
What?
I know that.
I didn't know that.
No, it's like when you suggested this time, it is right now when we're talking.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah,
noon
yeah.
on a Sunday. And for like, I don't know. I don't think a lot of my neighbors go to church. It's just like that's probably the thing. If anyone's doing anything on a Sunday morning, that's what's going on.
No, that's been an issue sometimes with our Cupware kids class that's on Sunday is like people would be booking it in after church if they could. And, you know, that doesn't even register for such as me. That's a thing that people block off their Sunday morning into afternoon for.
See, they're going to the
wrong churches.
Well, no, if they do, they have a modern mega church where you can like watch the sermon from home because they live stream it.
Oh, Jesus.
Or you can just watch it anytime you want. That's a real that is a real thing that people do.
The modern world.
Any way to get out of whatever.
My brother does that occasionally. My brother, Ja Rule.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's
man.
Still a reference.
Is that the influence of his woman?
It was the influence of a woman, I think.
Oh, okay.
At some point.
It would be with him.
Yeah.
Later.
I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. But he is a God-fearing man, and I don't know how it happened.
Well, so this should be funny. So thank you for Firewatch.
Yes, you're welcome, sir.
You're welcome, sir.
Did you notice how
Firewatch?
Both of you talked?
What the fuck?
God damn. I was waiting for that.
Did we buy it for you at the same time?
Oh, we both did that?
Yep. So... I renewed Tim's because his was first.
Yeah, suck it. Suck it, Dave.
But I didn't know what to do with the other one yet. So do you want Firewatch? Because I could gift it back to you. Or something.
That's weird. Like it's too bad you can't like turn it into like a Steam credit or something. Like in that very particular situation.
Yeah.
I might be able to like just send a note to Steam and say, hey, this happened. You know, because it doesn't it doesn't mark it on your list until you, install the game.
And that's when it probably takes it off your wish list because it's something you own.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Got it.
Because I got it, like, they were, like, within an hour, too. It was really
great minds, Dave.
Like, I didn't get to it, until later last night, but I got, like, two emails. I'm like, why do I have two emails? So thank you. I'll play that today after this podcast.
That's funny. Here I was thinking that wish lists on the internet was like the perfect thing.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Until now.
It still is. It's just, I'm surprised they don't put some kind of a hold on that or something. I'm guessing it probably doesn't come up that much.
Yeah.
Two people have the same idea for buying someone the same game for their birthday within an hour apart.
Right.
Because it's on sale.
I did notice it on sale, too. I was just like, because that's not bad. That was like Yeah, 30%, something like
that. I know, I was thinking about it for myself,
but it's on my wish list too, but yeah. I didn't get the notification that it was on sale until after I had bought it for you, and that's how I knew it was on sale. Huh. And hours later,
I saw it like a tweet, probably cheap ass telling me, but yeah, I had my money budgeted for a Steam Link. A Steam Link. I'm moving my desk and my computer into the basement of my house.
I know what this 1 year old.
Yeah, now. The 2.5 foot tall terror that is constantly fucking with my computer.
Yeah,
or trying to. So I think it's just best that I buck up and get that thing right the hell out of there.
Yeah,
I don't know how I have to figure out like a heating. There's other things I have to figure out in my basement, but. First thing is just going to be moving the computer down there because it's the summer months, so I don't have to worry about heat yet. But I definitely need to get some power run down there in order to get, I don't know, I will have to deal with heat eventually.
Yeah, we've already broke 90s. I don't know about you guys.
It was 80 something a few days ago.
It was really warm 2 days ago.
I thought you guys were getting that too, yeah.
And then there was snow in the forecast again.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm getting I'm gonna put a Steam Link upstairs, and I'm gonna run an Ethernet cable, through the floor basically, because my cable for the actual internet comes up in the corner of my living room, so I'll just pass an Ethernet cable down and cap that on both ends, and then hopefully I'll just be able to enjoy my. PC games upstairs without having to have the desk and the computer and all that shit up there.
Yeah.
And from what I'm reading, you can just basically just control your whole desktop through the Steam Link anyway. So
oh, okay.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be able to just pull up videos if need be or
Yeah.
Otherwise I'll get it sorted in some way, shape, or form. But that is a thing that is happening probably next weekend, assuming the thing comes in.
All right, that's cool. Nice. That's $50, right?
Yeah, that's $50, and everybody says it works great so long as you're using wired internet. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the plan. Mm.
I recently found at a thrift store. I found a power line adapter at a thrift store, and I've always been curious about those. This is where you send Ethernet through your electrical wiring instead of
routing. Chad vouched for those. I remember back in the day.
Okay,
something like that.
I grabbed it because I've always wanted one and I've always been curious about one. And I've always had like thought that I had a use for one, but I got it home and I don't know what the fuck to do with it. I don't really need it. There's nowhere where I really need a wired connection. Like I've got a decent, a fairly modern, it's only N, it's not AC, my wireless router.
Okay. Yeah.
And yesterday I discovered it did not reach, my router didn't reach to the garage. So I turned one of the three older routers that I still have laying around in my basement into a repeater and plugged that into the garage. And now I can stream Netflix to the projector that I'm setting up in the garage. This was my weekend project. it was figuring out where on the whether I have to buy a screen to watch projector movies in the garage. How am I going to do it? I couldn't get internet out there, but now I've got the repeater, so I've got Netflix and streaming video that can get out to the projector. I want to mount it to the ceiling because I've got like a little wireless keyboard and trackpad combo from Logitech, so you can just control everything remotely. And then over the summer, we're going to have children over in the garage with popcorn and juice boxes. And
not in your damn house.
Not in my damn house. No, the grown-ups can come and sit in the kitchen and drink beers and things in the summer. Oh. And all the kids
and the kids can watch Seven and the,
yep. That's on the list. I'm making a playlist.
yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut is on there.
Oh, nice.
Classic Kubrick. Yep.
the good stuff.
Yeah, just all war movies. Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. So that's I'm currently
the first 20
minutes. Yeah. I've spent my morning trying to figure out how to like DIY a ceiling mount for my little projector.
I don't recommend that.
No?
No, because you're hanging a projector. I think you want that thing to be secure as possible.
Well, yeah. Well, I do want it to be as secure as possible, but I'm thinking it will be more secure out of the reach of half a dozen kids under five.
No. But I mean, like, I think you should look into a mount.
Oh, instead DIY. Of doing
that
it
is what I mean. Yes.
See, here's the only problem I found with that is that because this is a cheap ass projector, it's not a proper projector with like mounting eyes in the bottom. There's nothing to mount it to. There's nothing to attach it. There's nothing to screw it into a proper store-bought mount. So I think I've got to just...
All right, I can tell you. I have an idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I was basically just going to build a shelf and hang it from the
That's kind of how it works. Yeah, like we'll talk later and not
All right.
go into the brutal details.
Brutal.
Yeah, brutal. Yeah, no, yesterday I was downstairs like cleaning shit out of my basement, like getting some stuff upstairs that just has got to go. It's going away.
Good.
And yeah, like five boxes of old toys and shit that are just leaving, like three boxes of books that are leaving.
Excellent. Feels good.
Yeah, because I got to move the stuff out of the space where my desk is going to go. And most of the stuff that is in that space, I think, is stuff I'm keeping. Then I got to start messing around with, I don't know, because it's like, it keeps changing, like, the status of my basement. Because, you know, it was a total cluster shortly after we moved into the house.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I fought it back. And then it's like more stuff found its way down there.
It happened.
And then I fought it back. And now I got to finish the fight, as it were. And
Last weekend, my father-in-law came over and we built some walls in my basement.
Yeah.
We actually like built some frames out of 2x4s and put drywall on them, and like framed out where a door is going to go. Because I told you in person, but Weiss, I haven't spoken to you. So I'm building I'm building a proper recording booth in my basement.
Ooh. And
it actually exists. Not like it's there. Well, there are walls. Okay. We built the walls. So now I still have to like insulate them and attach a door. And then figure out the right way to run whatever wires I'm gonna need in there. Because there's gonna be a microphone and headphones. But I don't know if I also want, like, my audio controls in there so I can adjust the gain and, like, I don't know, peek out the door and see what my levels are like on my computer screen. It's weird. It's hard
to be
a one-man operation because it's not like you've got a control room and a booth, like in a proper studio environment where there are two people in each place. It's just me. So I think I'm also going to have to put a window in this little door so I can look at my computer screen while I'm like doing levels. It's a little ridiculous, but yeah, I built walls. I've never built walls before.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I totally added walls to a room where there were no walls before.
It's crazy all the grown-up shit you get into once you have a house.
God damn it.
Right. Yeah, that's I'm like building.
It's like I had to merely fix a light switch a couple months ago after it had been broken for like 6 months. I wasn't sure. I had a feeling it was the switch, but I didn't know whether it was the fixture itself. And I'm like, I'm talking to King Will because he's an electrician. Like, dude, what do I do? How do I troubleshoot this? It's not a computer.
right.
And I got it sorted, and I only electrocuted myself once, and I was excited because I was like, oh, that means it's working.
Right. Yeah. Sweet. There's electricity.
Yeah. So. That was pretty good.
Let's come back into my head to DIY. Cheap, very cheap, extremely cheap audio room in the back. Probably just take some eggshells and throw them in a closet.
Yeah, no, sounds better than nothing.
Yeah.
Eggshells are bullshit. They do nothing. Yeah.
Let's not do eggshells then.
Moving blankets.
Movie blankets?
Moving.
Like the big... What blanket?
Anyways.
All blankets are static.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I do not.
It's like blankets you put up in the back of a moving van in order to help cushion your stuff.
So just like heavy blankets.
Yeah, they're like heavy and thick. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That is the closest thing to something that you can just find laying around.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're actually going to either buy foam or buy Really, I've found this now, and this is what I'm going to do in my booth, is this certain kind of insulation that you can buy, and it is like the cheapest way to make acoustical like panels so that your voice doesn't bounce around the room, and but you have to buy $40 worth of it at a time, and then you get a lot of it.
Yeah.
But that stuff's good, and it's itchy.
That's cool.
Anyway. But moving blankets. Yeah. If nothing else, use moving blankets.
Mm. Cool.
Yep. But yeah, in course of getting rid of stuff, I something I had been thinking about for quite a while now, I am actually getting rid of most of my Saturn collection.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yes. Because my Saturn collection is worth a shitload of money, apparently.
Oh, really? Mm.
Yeah, like... I mean, I don't want to count chickens before they've hatched on eBay, but you know, doing some rough research, it's like I got Panzer Dragoon Saga for $100 back in the day, and that game sells for $400 to $500 now.
Wow!
And
I don't know if that'll go higher too. Yeah,
it might, and that's kind of the thing that's most holding me back, because it's like I played the game once and it's good. It's not one of my favorite games of all time, but it's literally been just sitting in my basement for like 11 years. So to speak. And then I started looking at some of my other Saturn games, and because like I have a bunch of these like Working Designs games that I've never played.
Right.
Many of them are worth well over $100.
Wow.
My disc
what
only
was that
copy
tactical
of
RPG, Dragon Force?
Dragon Force, I am not getting rid of because I still really want to play it. That actually.
Yeah.
Is staying. At some point, I'm going to play that damn game, even though that is a high-priced game. But it's like I have Magic Knight Rayearth, which I've never played.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's like $150. I have Shining Wisdom that I've never played. I have Dave, we were talking, I guess this was a year ago at this point, maybe. We were talking about the Sega Ages version of Outrun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sega Ages is worth like $100.
God damn it.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Well, this is what was killing when I was looking through. I'm like, oh my god, like these games have skyrocketed in price, and I'd never hook up my Saturn, like ever.
Your Saturn collection is drastically different from my Saturn collection.
Yeah. And you know, these games I was picking up, you know, at like Game Craze and GameStation, and some of them, I think Sega Ages was like $30, Shining Wisdom was like $30. I got Magic Knight Rayearth from Jocam for, I don't know, not a ton. Like, most of these games have tripled, if not more, in value.
Good lord.
Since I got my hands on them. Like, my disc-only copy of Guardian Heroes will probably fetch me close to $100. And it's just like, well, it's time to say goodbye, I think.
Yeah. Especially to any game that is available on digital distribution now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is none of these.
Except for Guardian Heroes.
Except for Guardian Heroes. But it's like most Saturn games, and that's kind of the thing. It's like I might not see, you know, who knows when they might eventually figure out Saturn emulation and get these games more widely available. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, me sitting down to play a, you know, 20-year-old JRPG, that doesn't really happen anymore. Like,
yeah,
the time at which I would sit down to play that has probably passed, and even then there's still plenty of other things in the house that I could get into. So yeah, and I'm probably also going to get rid of my Earthbound cartridge. I got that from Guzex, and that cartridge has, despite being available on digital platforms, that cartridge has skyrocketed.
Yeah, what's that at
that's
right
like
now?
Getting up to close to 200 as well, where it used to be like under 100. And I got that off of Guzex.
Yeah.
So I didn't even exchange money for it. And same with Mega Man Legends 2. I got it off of Guzex. I didn't even pay money for it. And that's like $100 and is also $10 on PSN.
Good lord.
So, yeah, getting some stuff out of there that I think is more valuable in money form than in my basement form.
Yeah, excellent. That's
but
great.
Still, it's a big step for me as a game collector.
You made smarter, more prescient investments back then than I ever did, I'll tell
you. Apparently, yeah.
It just means I'm never going to have a Saturn collection. That's what this conversation means. I'm never going to buy
it. Yeah, I can't believe. Like, at some point, I feel
situation
like
where
some, you know, company, some startup is going to get together and be like, we got to get the Saturn shit figured out so that,
yeah,
you know, more people can play these games and whatnot. It's at some point I feel like that has to happen and they won't be lost to the annals of time. But I don't know, whatever. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Do we know who handled the emulation packaging for the digital re-releases of Radiant Silvergun and Guardian Heroes? Or were those based on other versions? Well, Radiant Silvergun was Saturn. I mean, there was never a PC re-release of that.
Right.
So that had to be a Saturn emulation. Someone's figured it out. They're just not sharing it with the world.
Someone's doing something, I guess.
Yeah. Or probably they just didn't sell well enough to invest in further re-releases.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it might be different for those depending on, like, what resources Treasure still had hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
If that made it easier or so, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't know, man. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. Should be exciting. Woo.
Woo-hoo.
All right, let's talk about some other good shit, luck. I guess. Hey, Weiss, how was Civil War?
That's a good movie.
No spoilers. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
it's really hard.
It's like, I got plenty of opinions on it, which I, you know, not going to say shit since you haven't seen it, but mm-hmm. I still have a few action qualms carried over from Winter Soldier, which I watched Winter Soldier before it, and I feel better about Winter Soldier now. I still think the tanker is garbage.
About how you about feel about overall. It? Or, oh, you just feel it's better. Okay.
Yeah. I still hold that the Russo brothers are really clever, are more clever than they are good at shooting action. Like their action, like their choreography is like the elevator fight in Winter Soldier, right? With the magnetic suitcase cuff thing. Like that's super mm-hmm. clever. Like, you know, cuffing Cap to the wall of the elevator and, you know, like the way that that holds up. But the way it's shot is very staticky. Mm-hmm. To me, and not as interesting. And I think, like, they definitely got better for Civil War, and there were only, like, a couple things that were just sort of, like, meh, that could have – I would have liked a different director doing that, but so much other stuff was working that I didn't give a shit. And by the time Spider-Man shows up, the rest of the movie is just perfect. Like, I don't know about perfect, but, you know, no qualms, so.
Sure.
Yeah. So it definitely worked way better for me in that. I'm still curious how not Infinity War's gonna go. Like, because I'm not starry-eyed 100% Russo still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's still like a little bit in the back of my head like this could fuck up, but I don't know.
And that, like, it's two parts. Like that's
and
always
it's two parts.
That's always bad. I feel like
right.
that doesn't generally turn out good when you are splitting things like that to.
Yeah. Like, I didn't expect to be excited for another Spider-Man retread, but I am now. So that says a lot. Like, Tom Holland stole that movie. Like, and that's kind of the thing is, like, you know, that deal came kind of late into Civil War. So mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, it'll be shoehorned. But I can't really imagine that movie without Spider-Man, like, working, like, in a lot of different ways. So
cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ah! And hopefully I don't know what's weekend. Been... I know that they gave away a couple things in the trailer that I didn't see, because afterwards I'm like, you know, this paid off or that paid off, which I'm not going to say, because mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm guessing you're in the same situation of not seeing as many trailers.
I haven't seen a trailer in a while, no.
Yeah, exactly. So there was definitely one thing that I didn't realize within the movie that I was really happy about. And that was kind of the big set piece. So,
okay, man, I don't know what that is. I don't think
you might, but I'm keeping it vague.
Hopefully next weekend. I don't know. It just sucks that, like, Lauren's weekend shifts have gone from like daytime shifts to evening shifts. So that just like murders.
Oh, is that what did the, okay.
It was, yeah, kind of, well, like, it's also when we go to the drive-in, I don't particularly like to go to the main screen because it's a zoo. It's the biggest one. It's the one closest to the snack bar. It has the most people. It's, Yeah, and because that's usually, you know, the main thing they're showing, it's the early show, and I prefer to go to the other screens, but that would have meant seeing the movie at close to 11, and I did some math, and I'm like,
yeah,
that's not going to work out so well for me tomorrow if I go see this movie. I'm not going to be able to do the things I want to do.
I did the same thing. Like, that was about when I saw it, was, 10:30. And then the next day was definitely a very late start, so yeah. I can't imagine.
I don't get late starts.
I know.
Have that option.
It's the one benefit I have, goddamn it.
Yeah, so yeah. Maybe hopefully next weekend we'll make it to something. I don't know. Who knows?
It's making it'll a bazillion bucks. It'll stay in theaters.
Yeah, it'll be hanging around there for a while, I'm sure. Yeah. You see any other? I mean, I'm sure you've seen plenty of movies in the past 2 months, but anything you want to touch on briefly?
Green Room is the only big one because that movie is really, really good. That was one the last 2 years. I think.
What the fuck was that?
Let's do. Yeah, I think the last 2 years I had that on my top movies I wanted to see list, but it finally came out versus festival come out. So that is the neo-Nazi Jean-Luc Picard versus punks horror thriller.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's one of the best things I've seen this year. The two best movies I've seen this year have had maybe Funke from Arrested Development between that and Pee-wee. Anyone else see Pee-wee?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I saw Pee-wee.
What'd you think?
Yeah, that was funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I really liked it. I like the way that they find like everything is a positive twist on conflict in those scenes. Like, there's so many things he walks into that you're like, oh, okay, they're gonna butt heads. Nope. These, you know. Insert name of conflict is just going to find a happy way out of it, like to heighten to such a degree that it's really funny.
And
Joe Manglioni.
I can never remember how his last name is pronounced.
Nope.
But his earnestness is, you know, his commitment to the earnestness of that situation is kind of key to selling that movie. And he did a great job.
Yes.
He kept me laughing, and Julia loved it also.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
They I got to see a Q&A with Paul Rubens and Judd Apatow and Paul Rust, the other writer. And then after the showing, they gave everybody balloons and let us fuck around outside. So there was a huge theater worth of people dicking around at 1 a.m. in the courtyard. Just making stupid balloon sounds for a while.
Hey, if I can pivot briefly off this. Speaking of Paul Rust, have you seen his and Judd Apatow's Netflix series Love?
I started it. I didn't like it as much.
Neither did I.
Pilot. Okay,
I watched the pilot. Kind of didn't like it. Jan kept watching it, and she really liked it, but I just could not.
No, I couldn't connect with it. Yeah.
I went to college with a guy who looks so much like Paul Rust. I had to IMDb it and make sure it was not that my friend from college, Greg, because they could be twins. I've never seen him I was not familiar with Paul's previous comedy work prior to that. So,
because he's been on Improv for Humans a lot.
Okay.
So I had heard his improv, but that's about it. I remember everyone was very happy for him for getting that job, like when got hooked up, because he's a young writer kind of thing too.
Yeah,
so it was kind of like that big break. So
good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
I don't really like the show.
I turned around on E.T. say that.
Oh, really?
I never really loved DT growing up, and went back to it. I think that movie's really solid now.
Right.
I don't know why I didn't really like it. I think I had a knee-jerk reaction to it as a kid just for because it's clearly a kid's movie versus some other Spielberg, you know, those early 80s adventure Goonies kind of things that are hidden kids movies, you know, a little edgier maybe. But I think it had way more fun, especially like I totally forgot about the whole because E.T. has a psychic link. E.T. getting drunk in at home that. And the kid getting drunk in the class. That still plays pretty funny, I thought. But, you know, I liked. Yeah. I mean, like, obviously everything has ripped it off for the last 30, 40 years. But.
Yeah. Dave, you watch anything of note that you would like to speak on?
I really haven't. The only thing I've seen is The Night Manager, which is this miniseries based on a John le Carré spy novel starring Hugh Laurie and Tom Hiddleston. And it was really good. I really liked it a lot. And this is the first time I've ever seen Tom Hiddleston do anything except Loki. So and he's
really?
Great. Really.
I'm just trying to think. Never mind. Go ahead. Yeah.
Really, not that I can immediately recall at least.
He was still melancholy, right? Sort of in this.
Okay,
just making sure. He had the hidden sadness, right? That's all.
Definitely, yes. Okay, yes. Is that a thing that he?
That's a thing. Yeah.
Okay, that he hides a deeper sadness behind flashing a wily grin.
Yeah. Just happens each role. I think there was an article recently about it, but
okay.
I think that's part of the lady appeal as
oh,
well.
Oh God, I melted in his eyes. He flashes.
Oh yeah,
I just.
Oh, oof. I mean, he was a big draw of Crimson Peak for that.
Oh right, yeah,
he's made for that role.
After watching this miniseries, I unconsciously. I was shaving in front of the mirror, and I'm like, I want my stubble to look just like Tom Hiddleston's on the show. But the thing is, when I try to go for that stubble look, people with fairer hair than me pull off stubble that the sort of like they just sort of look, you know, kind of just a little laid back. But when an Italian guy with hair as dark as mine does stubble, I just look like I'm Vinny from the construction site. Like,
yeah,
I can't do. just you know, rakishly handsome stubble. It's always Razor Ramon stubble.
Dear Lord.
So that is literally all I've seen.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched any kind of movie or TV that was not wrestling related since our last podcast, or at least I cannot recall. I will say, Weiss, you weren't here last time, but I did see Creed, and it is very good.
Yeah, I really want to see that. See
Creed. Yeah, it's.
Well, all of those actors are in Black Panther now, so.
Yeah, just
oh, wow.
Dumping black actors into that movie.
Well, it's not even just that. I mean, you know, it's the director of Creed is the one directing Black Panther. That is
good news.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a lot of people are saying. I mean, it's Michael B. Jordan. It's Lupita, last name I would butcher.
Yeah, there was some definitely that was a well-shot movie with some good shot fights.
Nice.
Yes.
I just wanted to have a back-to-back with the original Rocky, like with it, just to see all the parallels and everything, remind myself.
So if I can circle back briefly to Saturn games on other platforms.
All right.
Yeah, with the treasure, with Radiant Silvergun and Guardian Heroes, Treasure actually ported the source code to make a native Xbox 360 version of those games. So they did not emulate the Saturn. They ported the source code, and with modern digital versions of Nights into Dreams, those are all based on a PlayStation 2 port.
Mm.
So. No, of the digital modern Saturn game, at least that I could think of, I don't know if there are any more that I'm missing, but none of them are actually Saturn emulations.
All right.
So no one's cracked it.
Whew. Okay. That's what I thought.
Oh, but M2 wants a chance. They gave an interview last week saying, yeah, if Sega authorized it, we would totally do it.
Nah, come on. Ooh. Come and on, Sega.
Yeah.
Cut them loose.
And that Model 3 might actually be easier than Model 2 games.
They would totally be able to figure that out. Man, with all the magic they did, with what they've done on 3DS, they would definitely be able to pull that off. Woo. Cool. Woo. All right. Ugh. Vidya Games.
Oh.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who wants to... Yeah.
Yeah, I have played some very good games since we last recorded.
What are they?
Well, one of them, I'm sipping my water. I'm lubing the pipes. Well, obviously, I played Dark Souls 3.
Right.
As I foretold on the last podcast, that was coming out in a few days, and I have since played the entirety of that game. Some of it, twice. That game...
So it's better than 2?
Yes, it is way better than 2. Most of us in our little Dark Brotherhood, as it were, are ranking it 1 or 2 in the series. I think generally 2 across the board is where it is getting ranked. So, okay.
Because 2 is most people's least favorite. That's the whole I remember.
Because whoever reviewed it for Destructoid, just reviewed Dark Souls 3, was like, oh, it's not as good as 2, and I'm like... Fucking crazy.
Yeah, I saw that line too. I'm just sort of like, ooh, everyone's going to disagree with you.
it seems mostly people don't like 2, though there's a few people that really like it and whatever. But we were all super happy with Dark Souls 3. It is really good send off for the series because it sounds like they're done making them.
Okay.
They said this was going to be the last one. They are now working on new IP at From Software. So
yay!
And a lot of people were thinking like, oh, does that just mean they're going to do another Bloodborne? But apparently not. But maybe, I don't know. I guess never say never. But they are moving away from Souls for the time being, which is great because
sure, that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. There's 5 games in the Soulsborne series. That's plenty to mess around with. I mean, there's still DLC coming for Dark Souls 3, which. I'm interested to see, but yeah, it pays off. It actually pays off story really well. Stuff that was started in Dark Souls 1, there is story payoff for if you're paying attention, which is great. It's laid out because my big problem with 2 that I talk about all the time. One of the big problems with 2 is just how the world is designed, that you just kind of go down these long straightaway paths. But in Dark Souls 3, it branches a lot more. And even if, I mean, you can only explore one thing at once, but it's nice to know in the back of your head that, like, oh, there's this whole other place over here that I need to go check out. I don't know. It's like, those games are really, really good. The only thing that, so I got like 16 hours into the game or so, and I was playing a sorcerer character, and... I beat a boss, and I came back to your kind of hub, and the guy who teaches sorceries was gone. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what happened? And it turns out, when you meet this guy, he's like, yo, you need to bring me scrolls, and I'll teach you sorceries, and that's the deal. And because I had reached a certain point without finding a scroll for him, he just beat feet. And I'm like, well, great. Now the guy I need to fucking teach me spells the rest of the game is fucking gone. That's just fucking great. So I ended up starting over. And it took me 6 hours to get back where I was. Because that's how the Souls games work. You spend 16 getting to a certain point, and then it's less than half that getting back. And by the end of the game, I used like a spell that he taught. Like, I never actually even ended up using any of them, so it was totally, almost completely pointless in the end.
That would drive me crazy.
Nah, it's just part of the goddamn... I know it was dumb because in the end I didn't have to, but I was like so mad. I was there like stewing for a day on it. Like, God fucking damn it. That's so stupid. I can't learn these goddamn spells now. Like, what the fuck am I going to do? I want to play sorcerer. God damn it. And in the end it didn't even matter. I didn't even use any of the spells he taught until like the very, very, very end of the game. Yeah.
I did what you told me in because I
yes.
Yeah, I've tried to delve into Dark Souls 1, the first one.
Oh, this sounds like you succeeded. Tone in your voice.
I was getting hammered by these skeletons in a graveyard, and Tim told me, no, don't go to the skeletons in a graveyard. Go the other way. Go the opposite direction. And I did, and I made some progress, but I still got to a point where I just kept dying over and over.
What was killing you?
Did I make it up the stairs? There's a lot of skeleton soldiers, and then there's, I think, a barrel that rolls down the stairs.
Yes, okay, yep.
I can't remember if I actually made it past. I don't think I did. I think I died after dying like 10 times and going, but because at that point, it's kind of a long way from the last bonfire.
Yep, I know.
To
yep.
get there. And, that was a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I have felt no compulsion to go back and experience that frustration.
You're again. Almost to the first boss, man.
Okay. I just don't. Yeah. I think I'm one of these people with whom it's just not clicking. I'm sorry. I feel like I gave it a good try. I sunk a few hours into it, and I can't. I can't play a game where I have to sink 10 hours into it before it clicks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Ugh, God, what is this shit?
I'll be right back. I can't breathe.
Yeah, you sound like hell.
Yeah, I'm going to go do something. Hang on.
Yeah, so Dark Souls 3 turned out really well. It looks great on PC. Even though it doesn't seem to always run great on PC, there's definitely some crashing issues that some people experience more than me, but I would experience occasionally.
Which is enough.
Yeah. But, well, the thing is, the game saves all the damn time, so it's kind of like, it's just more annoying than anything to have to load it back up. But it was, you know, it was good. They did a lot of smart things with it, made it really fun. We were all really happy with it. Hooray.
Hooray.
Hooray. Four was pestering me to try Overwatch.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the Overwatch, because it was in open beta last week. I don't know how long it was in open beta. I finished Dark Souls 3, and I'm like, I'll install Overwatch now, I guess, and try it out for a couple days.
Overwatch was a good sign of how removed I am from AAA right now, where I'm just like, I don't know what genre this game is that everybody's talking about. I'm just like, I assume it's a shooter.
Yes, it's like Team Fortress, basically.
Oh, okay.
And it's a team-based shooter, multiplayer online. There is no single player to this game. You would think.
What's this now?
Overwatch.
Oh, Overwatch.
Yeah. It's like instead of classes, like Team Fortress had 9 classes, this game has heroes more like similar to what you'd see out of like a MOBA.
Right. But Battleborn's MOBA influence there too.
Yeah, that's like because you have. Yeah, like Battleborn is somewhere in between. And boy, have I not heard a lot of good things about Battleborn.
Yeah, the best I've heard is mixed, so I'll probably not.
Overwatch has heroes. And you can switch whenever you go back to your base, so it's not like you're not picking up your team or drafting a team like you would in a MOBA like Heroes or whatever. So it's fun in that way, and people on a team can have the same hero more than once. So it doesn't restrict you in that way. Anyway, this game is really, really fun. It really surprised the fucking shit out of me. I don't play multiplayer shooters. But it was super fun and addictive for those 2 days that I had it. I was really surprised. And it does a really good job with like tracking stats for your characters. And, you know, you're unlocking loot drops that get you different like skins and poses and just whatever. I mean, I initially thought this game was going to be free to play.
So I thought too.
You can definitely kind of see how it could have gone in that direction, but instead they just and probably because it's on consoles, they made it a full priced game, which is fine. Seems really fun, and it's the thing is, you know, the way I play games now, I tend to not bounce between things, and I have a tough time starting up like single player games because it takes effort for me to get into a damn game, and it's just, you know, time is value. So it actually really appealed to me because it's like, oh well, I like Overwatch, and this is something I could just hop into for a variant amount of time every day and have fun with, and then go about my life. Not unlike Hearthstone, which I continue to play a lot of, and it's actually been really good lately since they released a new expansion and changed some shit with that game. Finally, though, the last thing is I rented Doom. The new
people
Doom.
Liking Doom.
The game is, it's fucking insanely good. I was shocked that I liked it at all, even. Because I was standing at the red box, and it was either going to be that or Uncharted 4, and I was, like, literally my thought was, like, well, I don't really want to play something I have to give a shit about right now, play Doom. I didn't want to.
Because a part of me got really mad, because I already asked a friend if they had bought a PS4 so I could borrow it to play Uncharted at this point.
Yeah, no, I've heard really good things about Uncharted 4 as well, but I was just kind of like, you know, I don't know. Because I think I'd rather own
it's
Uncharted 4 so I don't have to rush through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when worried about having the time. but yeah, much to my surprise, Doom is very, very good, and actually very, I mean, I never really got into or have been a fan of Doom. So to me, this is like, oh my God, this Doom game is great.
I certainly
know quite a few people that were like, oh, the new Doom's coming out, and they were making like weekend plans around playing Doom. But for me, it was just kind of a lark. So, like, the game looks really good, one. I'll say that. It plays super fast.
Yeah.
Like, it is not, like, a slow, trudgy. Like, I mean, Bioshock is a pretty slow-moving shooter. But this has a very fast, very arcadey feel, much like old Doom.
Which means I'll never play it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, it would probably make you vomit. The speed this game moves at. But it's like I had to talk to Rez to be like, is this game actually good? Am I crazy? Is this like what is the appeal of Doom to begin with? Like I don't know. And yeah, he loves it. But yeah, like the enemies move really fast, and like the basic imps have this really dynamic AI where, like, sometimes some of them will, like, hang back just to throw fireballs at you. Some will rush up and try to slash you. They can climb up, like, walls and shit, like, pretty dynamically. It's not like, oh, well, that's a wall that an imp might climb up. It's just, like, they will jump on and climb up everything. And it just looks really, really natural when they do it. And they will run away from you and toss fireballs over their shoulder at you. They, like, have so many AI routines that they could possibly follow. And that's kind of like one of the most basic enemies. And they keep layering on new stuff. The thing is, like, it's level-based, so it's not, you know, this open, unending adventure. It's still level-based. And it feels a lot like Dead Space did to me in the sense that, like, there's stuff all over the levels that I want to get, like collectibles and upgrades and stuff. So I want to be very thorough. And so each weapon has a thing. Like, there's like a little robot flying around on the level that if you find and take his box and punch it in the face, you can put a mod on one of your weapons, or you can unlock a mod. And then you can use these other points you gain to upgrade the mods. And then there's stuff for upgrading your armor. There's like runes you can equip, and then you can level up the runes as well. So there's just like all these systems going on that like really keep you engaged. It's not just like, here's your weapons, here's your ammo, go into a room and, you know, kill stuff. Like, you're constantly finding like new stuff to make your character more powerful. And that's really cool. That keeps you engaged in the game. And it has a nice map system. that is, you know, it's like a 3D map, so it's kind of reminiscent of like Metroid Prime. But it's not like exact, because sometimes you'll be walking around and there's like a little like kind of radar space that'll show you like rooms and stuff around you, but it doesn't always show you how to get to those rooms. So there's like a nice little puzzle element to figure out, like, okay, well, I can see on my map that there's something up there. Like, how do I get there? Is it something I have to come back to later? Is there something in this room that I'm missing? So there's like moments where you have to stop and be kind of thoughtful about like how to get around. And the music in the game is really good. Like, it's really just totally good in like every single way. And I'm in shock. Really. I am totally and completely in shock. Like, I am in level 4 out of 13 levels. And if this holds up for the whole game, it's just like, holy shit. Like, this is really good.
Nice. Do you know who's behind it? Who made it?
Id.
But who's still there?
I mean, it's obviously it's not John Carmack or John Romero, but I mean, I don't know.
Because everything, all the praise that I hear for this game really is, I mean, just strikingly reminiscent of the reasons why people still describe the original Doom as a really fucking good video game.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it sounds like, I mean, whoever is there at id, and Carmack was still there up until a few years ago, and they've been working on this game forever.
Yeah.
I mean, what they did was they captured the feeling of old Doom in a 3D high-resolution space, which is, seems to be what they failed to do with Doom 3, from what I've heard. Again, I don't fucking have a clue. But it's kind of amazing, given how good this game looks, like how fast you can move around. And like it all, and like just with enemies, all these enemies running around and shit. Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. No, it's also a big surprise because they didn't let anyone play the single player ahead of time. So like reviewers didn't get to play single player, so there was like no buzz. The buzz was, yeah, man, the multiplayer beta was bad.
Oh,
this,
yeah,
Doom game, I don't know about it. Like, they'd showed the single player video at Bethesda's E3 press conference last year, and people were like, okay, that looks kind of cool, all right, sure, maybe, I guess. But yeah, so it's kind of really caught everybody off guard in its level of quality. So yeah, big surprise there. Very surprised. Pleasantly. Play that Doom. Who knew?
Doom.
Who knew? What you guys play?
Reese?
Sure. I broke these into categories. My first one are the ones
I
gave
up on. Hang on a second. Hang on. Your voice got weird.
Your voice got awful.
All right. Now you can go. Woo!
My voice. My lovely lady voice. Okay. Yeah. My first category are games I gave up on. the two of which are Sega 3D classics, and I played a lot of Shinobi 3, and I got very far, and so I stopped playing that. It's really good.
Yeah,
I got those on the last day of the sale. I got that in Space Harrier.
Yeah, I didn't get Space Harrier.
And apparently I also bought Etrian Odyssey, the Etrian Odyssey remake, which I fucking forgot about. I think it was very late at night on a Sunday, and the sale was over at 9 a.m., and I saw that, and it was like $10. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. That sounds like a good deal. So like, when I looked back at my 3DS a week and a half later, I was like, oh, when the fuck did I buy that?
You'll find 7 of the 9 games I'm going to mention today are on my 3DS, so apparently that's what I'm playing.
Yeah, I have not touched my 3DS lately, sadly.
Well, because I'm playing in short, tiny little bursts, I haven't really like sat down for a long period in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I love Gunstar Heroes. I cannot get very far in Gunstar Heroes, so I might... I might keep that one around as a keep picking at, but
you should play with the settings. There's like some stuff you can do that'll probably make the game easier.
Yeah.
A bit.
I played a good chunk of Never Alone. And
yeah,
that's
how's
not
that
a long
game?
It's gorgeous and it's a really cool idea. It's a cool setting.
What do you do in that game? I almost started playing it the other day.
Yeah,
it's a platformer, isn't it?
Basic platforming.
Okay.
Like And at first, like, it's cool when it's just keeping you going because the setting and the story and everything around it's interesting. And the platforming isn't bad per se, but it's not great.
Yeah, it's not it's the not start why of the you're show. Playing
that game. Yeah. So when it actually decides that it wants to challenge you towards the end and kind of changes up the gameplay, I stopped caring. Like, it completely changed the game and the tone for me, even though it's really, like, cool to look at. And I like all the ancillary kind of behind or the little documentaries you unlock are neat. But I didn't find myself compelled to go through bad platforming to finish the game, unfortunately, for a 3 to 4 hour game, which says a lot.
Yeah. I think you'd play for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So you're like,
oh, I'm sure I'm right at the end.
Yeah.
And I played a couple hours of a charming game called The Night of the Rabbit, which is a point and click adventure from Daedalic, who do a lot of these point and click adventure games that I've never heard of or paid attention to that are incredibly charming, that always come up in those, like, humble packs or in bundles one way or another.
What else have they done?
I don't know by name per se, but I know that, like, Daedalic is a name that keeps popping up. But the game is, I think, charming is the word. Like,
Deponia.
Yeah.
Is, oh, okay. Yeah.
Edna and Harvey, Harvey's new eyes.
Yeah, I think Deponia I have.
Yeah. And it's a very magical game. It's just like, it's a very cliche fairy tale is why I kind of stopped at this point. Like, I like being sucked into the world with the, like, the music's really good. The animation's very good. I'm not having any problems with, like, puzzles per se. It's kind of the right balance, but the characters themselves aren't super interesting. And for a game that I need to be driven to talk to everybody, I kind of lost interest in the world itself, which is a little too bad. And it makes me wonder if I need a sense of humor in my point and click games, sort of a wink and a nudge. Cause I can't think of, like, or horror, I guess, if you go back to, like, Deja Vu and that stuff, but just a straight up fairy tale. I don't know if that quite works for me unless there's something, like, really driving it. And it might be because I, you know, the last big one I played, I guess, would be Toonstruck. And this is sort of a game that was parodying in a way, because Toonstruck was sort of, like, laid out like that, except it was sarcastic in a way. So
yeah,
that this is the straight up game is kind of like waiting for a hook or something a little more interesting. So I think that one's fading to my backlog. Those are the games I gave up on. let's see. I was picking at Streets of Rage 2 for the last, like, month, I think. Something like that, to beat it with Blaze. So I beat it with Blaze.
Yeah.
Yep. That was fun. So that game's still cool. Yeah, that's the 3D Sega version of that. Mm-hmm. And I beat Mario Land 2 again for shit. Yeah. That game's not bad. I think it gets a bad rap. I think it's a fun little game for an era of weird game
platforming. All things considered, yeah.
Yeah. It started a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's not perfect, but, man, people say Mario 2 is weird in the series. Mario Land 2 is the fucking weirdest. No question. Still picking up Pokemon Picross every once in a while. I just play the trial game a day until I unlock a future world after a couple of weeks. As free-to-play goes, as annoying as that is. Did anyone get the Twilight Princess Picross off of...
Oh, shit, I forgot that existed. Again, I've been picking up my 3DS a lot lately.
Okay.
Other than to put in codes, because I did buy that Humble Bundle.
I'm trying not to spend. Would have otherwise for Rhythm, but Rhythm
Thief.
Yeah,
that was why, basically, and then...
Yeah.
And there was other stuff, but yeah.
There were a couple things for Wii U that I thought were cool, but there wasn't anything else for 3DS that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Shantae. That's why I bought that bundle.
I've
heard that third Shantae game is like, well, at least according to Hardcore Gaming 101, that Shantae game that was in that bundle, the one that's native to 3DS, I think, is like the best Shantae game by far. It's head and shoulders above even the really good previous ones. So yeah, I wanted that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, because I own like all of the Shantae's except the most recent one. Mm. I think.
All I own is Revenge.
I have Risky's Revenge. Was the one in the bundle Pirate's Curse?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't have Half Genie Hero.
That one's not out yet, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that one they kickstarted.
Right.
Yeah, that was the Kickstarter.
That's going to be on Xbox One and PS4 is the plan, so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll have to check out Pirate's Curse then.
The games that I've put the most time into are demos for 3DS games, and that would be... I went through all of the Bravely Second demos, of course. And I'm excited to pick up that game when I can. And I played a shit ton of Pocket Jockey, the horse racing card game.
I've heard about this recently.
That is addicting as shit, and I will be buying that game. And, like, it's Game Freaks. It's the Pokemon team.
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
Like, it's Sega Bass Fishing. You're playing solitaire. There's thundering music and thundering horses going on the top screen while you're playing fucking solitaire. And there's a lot of RPG elements of, you know, improving your horse, improving stats. You're kind of juggling this and that between races. You get to name your horse. $8. I'm buying this. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And the demo was reasonably long.
Nice. Again. Well, I didn't realize there was a demo. They've been talking about that on the Giant Bombcast for a couple of weeks, and I will have to check out that demo at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I might go through with a different horse just for shits until I'm done with demo.
Horse.
Oh, yeah. Because it splits off. I can go for speed or endurance, I think, at least at this stage, until I can get further. There's a lot of different things you can do in it, surprisingly, because you're playing like 3 to 4 games of solitaire during a race where you're building up like a couple different meters that you can use in a couple different ways. You can position yourself, you know, on the inside track and make it kind of harder for yourself, or the outside track. So there's options. There's things going on.
That sounds great.
Yeah. It's amazingly, stupidly great.
Pocket Jockey?
Pocket Jockey.
Yeah.
Also sounds dirty.
Yeah, it is dirty. It does, yeah.
And them's the games I played.
Nice.
Yep.
Dave, you said you didn't have a lot.
I have very close to played zero video games in the past couple of weeks. But thankfully, cool, that's because I've been working on a few. Yeah, in the past week and a half, I've recorded voice work for 3 more games. One of those is by a company called Daily Magic, who makes... I'm pretty sure it's a hidden object game for mobile. It's Christmas-themed, and I got to voice an elf, a gingerbread man, and Jack Frost.
Jack Frost.
I also did a voice for a game called Duskers. This is in early access right now on Steam, and though the game itself does not feature any voice work, so it was for the trailer for the game. Mm-hmm. This is by the guy that made A Virus Named Tom, which I bet a lot of people have.
Yeah,
in their collections, thanks to Humble Bundles. I haven't played it yet. I wanted to check it out, though.
It was good. I lost interest eventually, but it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was cool to do. And I posted on Facebook a little while ago that I did a voice for a character in this mobile game called Soul Hunters. I voiced another character in Soul Hunters this week. His name is Vespix, and he is a wasp warrior. And I basically...
Which kind of wasp?
A
white person or a bee?
Both, I guess.
Okay.
He's you know, kind of skinny. I based his voice on Starscream. that's what got me hired for the job. And it's... Soul Hunters is weird, and it's hard for me to find a lot of definitive information about it on the internet. I did discover that frequent MAGFest guest Matt Mercer has also voiced several characters in this game. So I downloaded it today, and I played a little bit of it with Julia this morning on the couch. It's hard to describe. I'm sure it's pretty typical as far as mobile RPGs go. It's just I've never experienced anything quite like it. It's you form a party. There's lots of heroes, like MOBA style. There's a ton of heroes, and you can earn them, you can pay real money for them. And you assemble a party of five. Party of five, Matthew Fox.
Party five.
And you and you engage in RPG style battles that just kind of play themselves out. It is as if you're playing Final Fantasy and it's the Final Fantasy active time battle system, but you just keep attacking when it's your turn to attack. It's like attacking is set to automatic, and the only actual engagement you have in the battles seems to be activating a special move. You have a meter that charges up. Every character has one special move. When that meter is full, you activate the move. Some of these moves attack all enemies at once. Some of them only attack the nearest enemy. Some of them heal your party. So I guess there's some strategy there in terms of timing out when you want to activate these special moves, these magic spells, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can also arrange your party so that tanks are in the front line to absorb most of the damage, and people with ranged attacks are in the back. So I don't know. It's weird. It's perfectly charming, and honestly, it's got a lot of typical RPG hooks. You're leveling these characters up. There's lots of loot drops. You're constantly equipping and upgrading and fusing things. You know, there's a constant cycle of get more stuff, upgrade, get more stuff, upgrade. Mm-hmm. So it's got that good feel. I'm not going to say that this is going to go down in the history books. It's a great game. I'm delighted to be working on it.
You busy while you're pooping?
It definitely could keep you busy while you're pooping.
I mean, that's like the bar for phone games, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. And I have not been compelled to spend any money so far, so that's nice.
I guess did anyone else play Miitomo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. We talked about Miitomo a little bit. But I played Miitomo a little bit when it came out.
I felt weird because the first one you made was for Julia, and I'm like, I'm not going to friend her.
I know. Yeah. That's why I very soon after, and also to keep her from always wanting to grab my phone, I made her own on an iPad. And Jan made her own, and we all had great good fun making our own Miis, you know, for the millionth time, and playing it for that first day, and then I don't think we've really touched it since.
Oh, okay.
Seemed like that.
I played it for a while. Yeah, I was up on it for like 2-3 weeks, okay. I think. But yeah,
that was like the limit for most people. Really, it was.
Well, what I expected Nintendo to do was keep giving you reasons to play. Like, it seemed like they had a plan to, like, keep pumping new things in to incentivize, but it doesn't feel like they did, so.
Don't they add new clothes all the time?
Yeah. I don't really care about.
Not really.
I haven't bought anything in that game. Like, well, one, I'm naked, but. All I wanted to do was build up coin. Well, because I can buy Twilight Princess off of the coins I made from that. And I like that tie-in. And I was hoping they would keep upgrading kind of that cross sort of thing. Okay, Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The only other that I want to mention real quick about this game, Soul Hunters, that I feel like I'm pimping it, but maybe I am to a degree. Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed is now a playable character.
Ooh.
Thanks to a synergistic partnership with Ubisoft.
Nice.
And that's kind of the most like legit thing that I've kind of seen about this game that's a big hit in China. That you know, that's if that is the one thing that sort of legitimizes it, let that be it, I suppose. You can play as Ezio.
Yeah.
He's on sale for 99 cents.
Oh, you gotta pay for him.
Or you can earn him, you can wait to try hoping to earn him through a random loot drop, but that's not gonna happen. Come on, Soul Hunters. Yeah. So that's it. That is literally all I've touched.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, that's it. I didn't really get a chance to prepare for this, given this is going to be a different podcast like 12 hours ago. I think the only big news was that how Infinity got canceled.
Yeah.
Disney Infinity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Dave.
Well, it's... My only hope is that it makes all the older figurines way cheaper.
Probably. Did you read the Patrick Klepek's article about it?
I think I missed his take.
Yeah. He did some, it's a minor scoop. He did some digging and it's a lengthy article about why, you know, the real reasons why the game got canceled and kind of the difficulties with developing it and whatnot.
I'd love to read that because it's...
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to the toys and them, like, overproducing the toys or... Really, I think that was a big part of it, was like overproducing the toys and the fact that they had to please so many different like corporate masters within Disney with the games. You know, for instance, like they wanted to focus more on like just The Force Awakens for like last fall, but Lucasfilm wanted them to do stuff for Rebel One or Rogue One or the TV
Rogue
show.
One, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rebels.
Star Wars Rebels.
That's what it's called, right. They wanted them to do stuff for the TV show, and they're like, okay, well, so there's figures out there for that. Like, when they ended up doing a whole line for Guardians of the Galaxy, they were forced to do, like, a Yondu figure, and nobody bought the fucking Yondu figure.
That would have been the first
That's one that, like,
bought.
We would have bought, but, like, you know, people that play Infinity kids, and I guess are buying these toys, they're going to buy the Guardians. They're not going to buy Yondu. Right. They like produced 2 million Hulk figures. Million, and only 1 million of them sold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So that, and I guess, you know, one of like the first year of Infinity, like they had trouble keeping all the toys stocked, but like since then, like, yeah, they just have gone overboard in some cases, and like that's been. That was like one of the big downfalls, if not the big downfall. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because it sounds like the stuff they planned on getting in it in the next like year or two, like they actually planned on doing like a big single player mode that would cross over all the universes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there was like, you know, stuff in development for all these movies coming out, and like Moana and like Ninja Theory was working on a particular like piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely that was a good read. Lengthy, you know, it's not like a PlayStation 4.5 scoop,
right. It
was some good, interesting information.
I'll check that out then. Yeah, Ninja Theory has been working on the game since version 2. They've contributing some finessing to the combat. It obviously would have been a positive to have them take a larger role.
because
mm-hmm. gameplay is the one thing that game just could not nail. It's a bummer that everyone at Avalanche has lost their jobs, and it's a bummer that, as Jeremy Parrish has pointed out, with Disney pretty much retreating from
games. They are no longer in games at this point.
Yeah. That means they're the library of Lucas games are now sort of their future is uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the potential fallout is certainly more far reaching than simply Disney Infinity, which honestly I never expected to last very much longer. This was the first year that the entire Toys to Life business shrunk overall, as opposed to seeing growth.
Well, what I had heard is that it didn't get bigger.
Yes.
Yet there was Lego, so yeah, like, everybody's piece just got smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And with them, you know, at once they announced that there would not be a Disney Infinity 4.0, that they would just be focusing on additions to the current version, I thought, okay, yes, they're seeing diminishing returns on this game, so they are pacing themselves.
Yeah, but they would also need something to justify like that jump. It's like, okay, we start out with Disney characters, then Marvel, then Star Wars. So unless they buy somebody else, it's like, well, you know, what were they going to do for a full game?
Yeah.
And like 4.0 internally was scheduled for like next year.
Oh,
so that was not even soon. You know, there was going to be some time there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess next episode of Triple Radio will be sometime around E3 week.
Wow.
We can schedule. Yeah, that's less than a month away.
Holy shit.
Yeah. For all that is, you know.
Yeah.
There was definitely a lot of news of many companies dropping out of E3. Most notably Nintendo, which will only be showing Zelda and is not doing a direct and not talking about the NX at all. So there will be not. Yeah,
I'm curious about both E3 and Comic-Con at this point with everybody dropping out of Comic-Con as well.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, you don't need to do those things in order to get the word out there anymore. So
exactly.
I mean, I'm sure there will be some there will be stuff, but
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's next time you'll hear from us in a few weeks. I don't know exactly what week that is, but I'm sure we'll be doing it. All right, so thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll catch everybody later.
Bye. Bye.